Blog Talk Radio.
You just don't know what you do to me.
Bad.
Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Bet big, get in between your dentists. The prognosis, doses, blends and bends like Twizzlers. Biggest fitness to hurt, what's under that skirt? Who filling them with octane? Got them gassed up, about to get blasted up, son. The last one heard the mother, brother miss him. I seen it when he kissed him at the witch. Made his body shit. The high guy, it ain't bit the eyes. Smoke, ink, rap, terror, four chrome and terror.
I like five
by deliverance, the fifth is conspicuous. Bad boy, 695, ridiculous. My rap lines just like landmines. One step, kaboom, black suit filled the room. So you may make it serve.
You are listening to the 30 Plus WTF Show. The Felica.
In the middle of the day now, baby.
Good evening, good evening. This is Malika and Brittany, and we are the 30 Plus WTF Show, where we talk about what is necessary. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, hey, Malika. How you doing?
Hey, hey. I like that. Hey, hey.
You get a double
girl.
Hey.
Yes. I need a double hey. Yes. What's going on in your world, girl?
You know what? My baby needed a new pair of shoes, which means my car needed some tires.
What baby? What baby?
My vehicle needed new tires. And that's where I have been this afternoon.
All right. For real?
And let's just say tires are not cheap. You know, you can get the cheap ones, but then they wear out. So, you know, I was trying to get the mid range, the Honda of tires, maybe, as I don't know. It turned out to be a whole lot of money. I was like, for real, what else are y'all going? What else? Like, I mean, it was just nuts today. So that's what's been happening with me. How about you?
Tires are no joke. Tires are no joke.
And I was like, look, I'm not racing, people. I'm not going anywhere to drag race. I'm not using this car to race it for money. Like, what are these tires going to do? For real.
Right. So, I just need to get from point A to point B and back to A safely.
And back to B. Exactly. Right. And back to B. Because, you know, they're like, you can get summer tires and, you know, winter. I said, you think I'm just going to come in here when it gets warm to just, and where do I put these tires that I'm keeping for the summer? I was like, do you think I'm really going to buy two extra pair? You know what I'm saying? Like, they were really all talking, right, like, you know, buy some for winter and buy some for summer. What? No. I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Girl.
That's been my evening. So, yeah.
Gearing up for the winter. I spent the day getting organized. Like, I organized my desk, and I have this chair massager with the remote control. So, you know, I'm all set up in my little office here, and I'm just so happy because it was a disaster, girl. But they say clutter is a sign of genius. So
that's how I am
every day.
Exactly. I am a full-fledged genius in my bedroom because it's a little clutter.
Yes, girl. Yes. But yes. I feel like, you know, when you once in a while clean and organize that clutter, it allows new information to flow in, and then you create some new clutter with that. So that's where I'm at today.
Right.
That's where I'm at today.
I got you. I love it because I feel like I'm procrastinating on my clutter, and I'm about to get it together. I'm going to have, like, a couple weeks off. So I was really trying to do it because I'm leaving town tonight, people. But I said, no, you know what? I'm going to have 2 weeks free. I'm going to get this done before the new year. I'm not going to stress myself about trying to do it now. But this is going to get done.
Right.
Very.
Right.
Very.
And you feel so much better when things have been on your to-do list. You can mark
get
it
done.
Off, scratch it off. You're like, yes, I feel good. Yes.
Yes. Right. I got you. I'm going to take care of that in the last week of the year. I really am. I'm saying it out loud to you all, and it's going to happen. So, yeah. Yes, lady. It's been interesting. I'm like, let me pack my stuff up. It's weird leaving from here to go. I'm going to L.A., so the weather's better, of course, there. So it's like,
right.
Okay, am I going to put my coat in the car, like, because I'm not taking a winter coat to Los Angeles. I mean, that's just stupid.
Well,
no,
you know, it gets chilly in the evenings in L.A. Not cold, but it does get a little nippy at night. So, you know,
well, I mean, I have my
jacket with.
For sure, I was taking my little leather jacket and my scarf. You know what I'm saying? I'll be ready. But I know I don't need to take my I don't
your
need
down
to take
coat.
No. My puffy coat. I'm not taking my puffy coat.
Right.
I'm leaving the puffy coat here. So
yes. LA. So
LA,
are you looking
baby.
For anybody in particular when you get to LA?
No, Malika.
All right. That's an inside joke,
you know,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Don't start none. Won't be none. I'm gonna be staying with one of my girls that I went to her wedding last summer, and so she invited me out for, you know, for Thanksgiving, and I was like, hey, why not?
No.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hang
That's
out with her,
nice.
And then I'm gonna try, right? And I was like, and I'm gonna try to see some of my Chicago people that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
hi,
that's about it. Yeah.
Shoot, I
yes,
should have
ma'am.
You stop by my store. Stop by my stores and get some things out and bring it back. I still got furniture and everything there in LA. Goodness gracious. Clothes. All
oh,
the
wow.
Things.
Really?
But, girl, it is Brittany Monday. Usually we do it the last Monday, but Brittany's going to be laying out in sunny California. So we're doing
right.
Brittany Monday today.
Yay.
And for all of you who listen, for those who don't know, who are listening for the first time, Brittany Monday. Brittany always starts out the show with some thought-provoking question that just throws everybody. You never know what these questions are going to be, so that's why you hear us silent, which is, you know, not good on
it's
radio,
like
but we get stumped, like, Lord, like, what? The questions just completely go over your head, and you got to sit there and really think about it. But they're fun, and they really get you to think, and then, you know, you're thinking after the show is over, you know, thinking about
right.
that question throughout the week. So, you know, it's really interesting. So, you know, we decided we're going to have a Brittany Monday where Brittany can just tell us what is in that sea of thoughts just in her head, you know, just, you know, lay it on us.
What's going on in there?
Yes,
so
this is What's on Brittany's Mind Monday.
Yes, we're doing it, we're just doing it a little different Monday because I'm out of commission next week. Hopefully, I'll be on a beach or something this time next Monday night. Chilling. So, yes, that's what we're doing it today,
you will,
people. Yeah.
If you
I
go
mean,
to Venice Beach, If you go to Venice Beach, go to my spot, the terrace, and sit there, girl, and have yourself a Mai Tai, any kind of little tropical little drink, girl. Oh, I love it. I used to love to go there. Yeah, Moonshadow in Malibu, right off of Pacific Coast Highway. That's right on the
water.
Okay.
Text me these places because I'm going to make somebody take me.
I'm going to text you all my little spots. And it was
for
this
sure.
one little private beach. There's one little private beach in Malibu. It was kind of hidden. I mean, you would find it on accident. So it doesn't like say, this is the beach or, you know, the name of the beach. But you could go there just, you know, if you with a dude while you're out there, you know, or need some Britney alone time. It's the perfect spot. So I'll text all that to you, girl.
Please do. Because basically I'm leaving at the crack of dawn. So just text him when we finish, please.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't even know. Okay, so the flight is leaving at 5 a.m., which means I'm like, should I be at the airport at 3 in the morning? This is a cheap ticket. This is why I'm leaving at the crack. Only reason.
I am one of those people. Airports really bring out anxiety in me. So I need to get there early so that I can just, I have a fear of flying. That's number one.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So I need to get there and chill and get centered and get prepared to go up in this contraption way up in the sky and trust in the people that I don't know from a can of paint to drive it. You know what I mean? So that's how I see it.
So
I need to go. I have to get there early just so I can sit and breathe. Depending on what time it is, might have a drink and just breathe.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm on vacation. I might have one at 5 a.m. Shoot, I might have one then because I'm on vacation.
Girl.
That's so funny. Mm-mm. I don't like to sit there. I think I might have the same anxiety. I don't think about it, but I don't like to sit there through it. I like to get there. But see, what happens now is there's so much time involved in, you know, security. I like to get there when it's time to get to board. Like, I don't want to sit here and think about nothing, contemplate. I want to get there and get on the plane and let's go. Like, I don't want to stop and think about nothing. That's just me. Because, you know, I'd rather just get out of the car, go in there, and go through security and get on the plane. Literally, that's what I want to do.
Girl, the anxiety of possibly missing the flight, though, because, you know, sometimes you get stuck in. I always get stuck.
Well, that's the thing.
Frisk at the airport. So.
Yeah. You can get.
Yeah
that's
tie you
up. The security. So then I'm usually there grossly early, which is fine. You know what I mean? Because I don't like to.
Mm-hmm.
I've missed one flight in my whole life, and it was only because I got delayed on a train that was like sitting there or something. You know, it was sitting in the station instead of going, and yeah, I missed a flight. Annoyed about it, but that I'm only. I've only missed one.
Girl.
You know me. I had a serious potty mouth about it. So anyway, I'm gonna start light with our questions today, Malika. It's not gonna be all
okay.
Well, okay, you know, we're gonna start light. We're not gonna be all
serious
today. Well,
all right.
So, what do you find funny? Do you find tripping when people trip and fall? Most of the time, especially for me, if they're not hurt, I find it hysterical. So if you trip over something and bust your stuff, but you're not seriously injured, I'm going to laugh at you in public. It's funny to me because I'm clumsy, so I laugh at myself. Don't get me wrong. I will straight crack up while I'm on the ground at myself. I've done it. I've tripped over stuff. I've turned corners and caught a corner. I had a bruise a couple of weeks ago from turning a corner and hitting something because I'm clumsy in general. So if I see you trip, I'm laughing. It's funny. Don't be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a? You're like,
So you laugh at yourself falling?
Oh yes. I will trip over nothing, and be like, how did I? What happened? And I, well, one of the things reminds me of this is I was in Nordstrom yesterday. What's today? Monday. Yeah. So I was in Nordstrom yesterday, and I was like, can I try this shoe on? And my regular shoe dude, yes, I have a shoe person at Nordstrom. Don't judge me. And I was like, can you give me my shoes, whatever? And he turned the corner and clipped his knee, like, on the side. And I was like, oh, are you all right? And he was like, oh, I cut that corner really, really too close. And I was like, I'm sorry. How you know, and I'm trying not to laugh at him. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. So then he has to go to the side and rub it. He wasn't injured. He just, you know, hurt himself. It was funny. Because I was like, dude, you got to watch these corners in here. I mean, you can't be cutting these corners like this. It's not a race. Like, I can wait on that shoe. So don't, you know, did you draw blood? I was like, oh, God. It was so funny to me. Are you bleeding? What's happening? But I feel awful when you say that sometimes. So, yeah. What about you?
So the question is, do I laugh at myself?
Okay,
what's
that's one of them.
Exactly.
Let's start there. Do you laugh at yourself when you do stuff like that? Okay, do you ever trip? Let me ask you that. Do you ever trip? Are you clumsy at all, Felicia? Or are you the most graceful swan ever?
I'm not one of those people that really trips. I'll get my heel
silly.
I'll get my heel caught in like a crack or something like that.
Okay. And
you know,
when that happens,
or in one of those sewer thingies, your heel gets
sure.
caught, and then you know your shoe come off, and then you know you just look silly. I'm in between laughing and mad because I just stuck the heel and people are looking, so I have to laugh it off. So, you know, that yeah,
right.
that's in between faking a laugh and being mad that I just messed up the heel.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah, like,
what about trips?
Like, I mean, even, because my thing is, what? Like, if I mess up a heel, like you're saying, with your shoe, I'm mad about that. But about you actually tripping on something, is that amusing to you? Or are you just one of those people that's like, oh, this is not funny. I am not trying to fall in front of all these people. Are you easily embarrassed?
No, there's been moments when I should have been and I wasn't.
Okay. Was there liquor involved in those moments?
Oh, you know what was funny used to happen often is I had a Rottweiler. Name Apollo.
Okay.
And girl, the dog used to walk me. Okay. So
I've had one of those. Yeah.
The dog
ma'am.
Used to walk me. So there were times when he would see another dog or something like that and just go nuts and then like pretty much drag me down the street, and people would be laughing. Like, the dog is walking you. You ain't walking the dog.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And first I would be upset because I'm mad at the dog. Like, you know, right. Paolo, stop, you know. But then, you know, I get up and I just laugh because, I mean, it's just funny. He can't help himself. He's an animal, you know. He can't
right.
help himself. And I'm just not sure. He's stronger than me. Yeah, he's stronger than me. So, you know, yes, those moments, I had to laugh at myself, definitely, definitely.
Okay. Which leads me to another question as we talk. Have you ever been bit by a dog?
Did I actually get bit? I've never been bit. I've been chased by some big ones. I got chased by a serious Doberman Pinscher. Woo! I was terrified. And,
oh, my God.
She almost got me. She almost got me. She almost got me.
Oh,
but our dog came out of nowhere. Yeah, our dog came out of nowhere. I don't even know where our dog came out of nowhere and, like, saved my life. And they got into a fight, and I was able to get in the house. Yeah, but she would that could have been deadly, because that she broke her chain. She was the neighbor's Doberman. Yeah, she broke this really big thick chain, and I was walking through the alley, which I shouldn't have been walking through the alley, and she was going nuts as always, you know. And I'm not paying attention because she's always barking and growling and going crazy. And all of a sudden, the barking stopped, and I just heard that chain getting closer and closer, and I turned around.
Woo! It's so crazy that they stop barking when they start chasing you. Like, I'm going to get you. Like, they don't bark when they get on that. I'm like, ooh-wee.
And it was at nighttime, too? Oh, my Lord, girl, I was terrified. I took off running so fast, and thank God our dog came. And saved my life, girl.
Yes,
but I've never gotten bit. I've always been able to get away. Always been able to get away from a vicious dog. Yeah. What about you?
So I used to, I still kind of walk dogs for people. Like, I have my own business, walking dogs and house sitting. I still do it every now and then, but not as much anymore. But I was working for a company in Evanston, and I had a nervous dog, and his nervous thing would be to, like, bite his leash. When he saw another dog, when he felt anxious, I guess. This dog had, like, a nervous disorder, basically. So if he saw another dog or whatever, he'd bark a little bit, but he'd start biting his leash. Well, this one day he saw this dog, and the dude, this person knew that this dog was anxious, unfortunately, and he didn't have him on a leash. And the dog I had on the leash got anxious. He got me tangled up. He started biting on the leash and kind of bit my leg. I know it wasn't intentional. He was very remorseful afterwards because he didn't mean to bite me. You know, he was just doing his thing. But he bit me. And I felt... The thing, what upset me more, it wasn't the dog, and the owners were so, he nipped me, you know, he didn't, like, bite into me and, like, you know, take some meat out, but he bit me enough to leave a mark. And the owners were so remorseful and, you know, apologetic, but the people I worked for were like, whatever. I said, do you understand, in my whole life I've never been bit by a dog? And the dog that I walked accidentally bit me, and y'all are looking at me like, I was just so upset. And she was just like, oh, you know, you're all right. And I was like, has this dog has his shot? You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to die from a dog bite. You know what I mean? Like, they were just like, it's scratch. I was like, no, his teeth were in my skin. Hello.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that happened. That happened. Needless to say, I did not work there much longer. And I started my own.
I'm sure.
So screw y'all.
I'm sure. Wait, it looks like we got Mr. Lonnie just joined us. Lonnie?
Yes.
Mr. Lonnie. Oh.
How was that?
Well, hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Really interesting just listening to you guys there for a minute, talking about dogs and the issues of dogs. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
What's funny is Malika, I actually think I know who this dog is. I think it was my cousin's dog. Because if you were across the street in the alley on the house on Gray, I actually know which dog was chasing you.
Oh, no, this was in southern Illinois.
Okay, that's good. Different dog.
Yeah, different dog. No, he knows dog.
Right.
Even from southern Illinois. Lottie
knows
everybody. And the dog.
Yeah, well, you know, I even know the dog. That's just true. Right. But what's really interesting is I live down the street from a guy who actually fought dogs for a living. And my first understanding of dogs and their territorialness came from that. And, you know, as a kid, he used to make me break the dogs up when they were fighting. So I learned kind of how to deal with dogs. And then later on in life, I bought an Akita, which is probably one of the most stubborn dogs in existence.
Oh, my God. We have.
And they don't bark at all. When you talk about, Brittany, when you're talking about dogs don't bark, Akitas don't bark at all. So you have no warning on when they're coming. They just come. So
they never bark?
Never bark. They can bark, but they very rarely do it. They're part of the Japanese collection of dogs. And, I would say that this dog acts like he's Japanese. He has the quiet, almost ninja-like quality of, you know.
Wow.
Really interesting, right. But they're actually really beautiful dogs, but they're kind of dead.
They are.
Yeah.
We had an Akita for a little, What's the one with the curly tail and the purple
tongue? Really territorial.
Is that the Akita? Yeah. What's the one with the purple tongue? Is that Akita?
Huh?
Lonnie, the one with the purple tongue? Is that an Akita? That has a purple tongue and a curly tail?
Well, he does have a curly tail, yes. Really bushy. Looks like an oversized Alaskan Malamute in that sense. But, yes, curly tail.
Okay.
That's an Akita. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you ever been bit by a dog?
Have I ever been bit by a dog? No, because I have no fear of dogs at all. So dogs don't bite me because they understand that I'm not going. And I always learned that if you sidestep a dog, and the side of a dog is his weakest part, his chest, his, you know, he just doesn't really take good blows to the side. A dog's best place is when their head is between you and them. And the best thing to do is get away from the head. The rest of the dog is pretty harmless. So, you know, I knew that early in life. So I didn't get bit by, never been bit by a dog.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Okay, so, All right. Interesting. So,
all the weapons for a dog is in his mouth. So stay away from the weapons.
Oh, I understand. I understand, right? His teeth and all that.
Right.
Okay, I got you. His jaw. Like, I used to work for the post office, and they were like,
a
mad dog can bite through a chain link fence. So,
they don't like
delivery people. It's just something about it. And if they're
mad
enough,
they don't like delivery
people.
They're just territorial. You know, one of the things I always tell people when they buy dogs is understand that this dog becomes a part of the family, and he looks at everybody in the family and the house that he lives in as the territory he has to protect, and he just does that. So there's no such thing as a bad dog, only bad owners.
Right. But like you're saying, when they see somebody coming in their territory, they're angry.
Ignorant. Yes.
They get ignorant, and so they will chase a postal worker, the UPS.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
We have a dog all day long. We have a dog that will chase people up on cars. Like, you couldn't approach me. If the dog was with me and, like, you really could, he only walked me. I never walked him. He was twice as big as me, most of the time.
I'll tell you a very interesting story. I had a dog. The Akita's name was Conan, and he would walk my daughter to Dewey School. We lived at Mason Park. He would walk my daughter to Dewey School every morning. And at 2:45 in the afternoon, he would start whining because he wanted to be let out. And we'd let him out. At this time, there was no dog leash law, and he would go to the school and bring my daughter back home. He did it the whole time for third, fourth, and fifth grade while she went to Dewey School. It was a pretty
that
amazing
so,
thing.
huge.
Right.
It's crazy
right.
to me how they can tell time like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How do
he
they
started
know
whining like he had a clock in his head, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, how does he know it's time to go?
Right.
It's crazy. Love that.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So in lieu of, I know people out there, our listeners, almost everybody I've talked to is still reeling from this election. And my question is, if you were forced to leave the country, let's just say expelled, kicked out, where would you go?
Does that mean the country, if we were kicked out?
You have to leave the United States.
Okay.
Where would you go? Where would you go?
You don't want my answer on that, do you really?
Lonnie will go to Africa.
Right away.
Okay, where in Africa?
I would probably go to somewhere like Liberia or Ghana or probably Senegal or a place like that where the understanding of Americanism is not as, you know, different. But I would tell you this. Before I left, you know, there's too much of my people's blood on the ground in America. So before they would be able to deport me, I'd cause quite some problem.
You burn this mother. You burn this mother down.
Right. You're not going to put me out after all the blood of my people on this ground. And you're going to tell me I got to leave. I ain't going nowhere. You know,
Matter of fact,
y'all need to leave. I have more right to be here than they do. You know, the only person who could make me leave America would be a Native American who could say, Lonnie, you don't belong here. I would listen to them. But these elitist, they can't tell me to go anywhere because they stole it in the first place. So, you know, what you did was make me a co-conspirator in your crime. You stole it. My people built it up. And then now you're trying to act like you've done something. You've neither done, you haven't earned the land, nor did you build it up. So in essence, there's no reason for them to stay. If anybody's leaving, it's
for them to stay. What if, you know, they talk about all this, what is it called? Immigrants and whatever. And what if all these black people that they talk about going back to Africa and they test us and we all are mostly, I don't like to say Native American because that's not what they said, but we're mostly free American. What if they test us all and been like, wait, we're way more American than you, so you leave? Wouldn't that be such an interesting day?
Believe it or not, you're using this as a very interesting question, but we're getting very close to scenarios like that because what's going to happen is, what we're going to realize is, you know, one of the things I always talk about is, you know, my catchphrase is multi-generational trauma. And what these people have done to not only this country, but the people who were originally here is really a crime of the highest order. And I have a real problem with Trump and his whole immigrant. You know, what Mexican people are really a combination of the natural people who were here, the Indians, and Spaniards. So, it's really interesting.
They're the only people that are actually from here.
Right, exactly. Everybody else is an immigrant.
Especially Mexicans. Anybody with any Mexican blood in them is actually the only American. And you talk about putting up a wall.
Putting them out, right. Yeah, they got
to
leave. Yeah, okay.
To keep them out. Okay. But I'm saying all this DNA, like, I haven't done it yet. Maybe that's one thing. I need to order the kit because I really want to do the DNA thing.
The DNA test? Right.
Yeah, which would probably confirm some stuff that my parents said over the years, but it would be like, wait a minute. You want to talk about
you know
papers,
what else? Those DNA tests go out in a large way. What the Mexicans will find out is how much African is in them. Almost a whole half of the people who were brought here from Africa were dropped off in areas like Mexico and South America. So, you know, what they'll find out is, you know, that dark hue that is in a lot of those Mexicans is an African genetic original. So,
exactly.
It's interesting. Right.
It would be so interesting because, like you're saying, you extra white, blonde, blue-eyed, whatever, are really the only foreigners here.
Right, exactly.
And all these brown people, whatever you want to call them, whatever you classify them as, are actually native to the area.
Right, to the
so
area.
So you leave. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But, okay, so you
well,
go to Africa.
They can't kick me out.
No. No,
they
can't kick
me out
but...
I am part Native American. And
sure.
So... Yeah, and I have my DNA. I did have that test done. I did
oh,
have
did
that
you?
Test
okay.
done. Uh huh.
Wow.
And it was interesting. I was really surprised by some of the things that it said. But I would go to somewhere in the Caribbean. If I had to leave here, I would go somewhere. So to an island somewhere. I want to be in paradise for the rest
right.
of my life.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about this whole entire Trump situation, what's possibly going to boil down to is that people realizing the evil that really created this country. You know, I always say, you know, one of the stories I always read is about how they handed smallpox, infected blankets to Indian children
right.
and literally killed them. You know, one of the books that I've always been really
mm-hmm.
a proponent of is a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel. And what you'll find out is that the European beat up most of the people he invaded, not with a gun, but with the germs that he carried. That's what killed off, you know, 400,000 to a million Indians. You know, and that's a misnomer because they don't call themselves Indians, but. It's just
no.
really sad.
I know. That's why
and,
I call
know,
them pre-Americans. I call
right.
them pre-Americans before no. America.
My grandfather was from South
saying,
Carolina, and he used to say that this country stands on the bones of people, so it will never be a healthy place. It's like it's a big graveyard, uh-huh. and he just didn't believe
mm-hmm.
that something built on that could ever be healthy. So.
Right. I got you. I mean, it's so interesting that when you say that, I had to put this book down, and I might pick it up again, but it makes me so angry. It's called The History of the World, Part 1, or something like that.
Right.
I got to look
right.
at it again. But it's based
yeah, that's
on...
That's a heavy book. That's a heavy, heavy
it's
book.
It's heavy. I started reading half of it. I was like, I can't. So it's based on... It's compiled of journal entries of
right.
The first settlers from other European settlers. And some
right.
of it's like you read excerpts that people are saying, oh, look at these stupid people coming to greet the boats. We think that they'll be easy to enslave. And I was like, yeah, they
right,
sold
right.
your ass,
that's
right?
what Cortez
but,
said that about the South American Incas before he destroyed
exactly.
them.
Exactly. So,
right.
so there's like
right.
there's pages and pages of journal entries of
right.
of settlers talking about how easy it would be because these people were so gullible. But
they were
just,
I know they were loving. See the difference. Let
they
me
were
see,
loving.
And I,
they
I
were
really
want
to. I really want to straighten out that narrative because what they did was the evilness was in the people who came. The lovingness and
right.
openness was in the people they met who taught them how to feed themselves and taught them how to deal with the weather and show them how to grow corn and all other kind of things.
Exactly.
And literally saved their lives. And these people turned around and enslaved them. But you got
to
understand, that was the early, right. That was the early entrance of a really evil thing. And then the science came later. You know, then you start getting people tried to make it a science that the Caucasian was more, you know, it was a more civilized race of people. But
right.
really, if you look at the true nature of the situation, the uncivilized people were the ones who came. It's really a
exactly.
sad story. It's a
it's
truly
a, it's
sad,
a sad
story.
Story because
right.
it was the point that I was just trying to make was that over and over again, the journal entry said this stuff like these people were gullible and this, that, and the other. And,
right.
and like
right.
you're saying, Lonnie, the point was that these people were loving and
right.
giving.
Loving.
And they were welcoming
yes.
these people with open
right,
arms
right.
because they were like, look,
right.
you're here. There's enough
you're here.
Room
we
for
love
everybody.
You, and we're
going to
show you how to live. Right, exactly.
And we're gonna help you because we know we can all live here together. And it was
together,
these,
right.
these devils that were like, oh,
right.
no, we're going to take it over and run
right.
you. And they and, yeah. and the first ones were the Incas and the real pre-Americans were like,
right.
hell no. F
right.
you, and y'all
right.
not going to run nothing, and they would
nothing,
run,
right.
they would run
right.
off, they would kill themselves, they'd burn
right.
the place
right.
down.
Right, right.
So it's just an interesting
But you know, the really, the real interesting thing about Trump's whole entire election is, what this really is a reaction to the evil that they've done. And in essence, as the world becomes darker and the colors of the world become darker and darker, what Caucasians are worried about really is that we're going to do to them what they did to everybody else. And really that's
yeah.
the unsaid thing that Trump tapped into, that they have a fear
right.
that, well, we've pretty much slapped everybody in the world, across the world, and now they're starting to have babies at a higher rate, their populations are growing, and will they do to us what we did to them? You know, that's really what the underlying fear that Trump tapped into. And it's
right.
you know, it's a repressive thing. And, you know, what I would say, not only to all of us and to even the white people, you know, people think I'm, like, anti-white for some reason. I don't know why they believe that. But I'm not anti-white. I'm anti-evil. And what I would say
yeah.
to even white people who have that fear is that we don't think like them. We don't have that need to control everything. It's just not in us. No culture of the sun has ever been controlling like that. Only cultures that come from ice.
I'm anti-hate. How about that?
I'm anti-hate, but the problem is, what do you do with the hate that was produced in a historical way? Because the average white person today had nothing to do. Now, did they live off the benefits? Yes. But did they have something to do with the original theft? And since we're five generations away, I'd have to say no. But the problem is how do you rectify the theft by just continuing to benefit from it? In essence, you're dealing with some issues of the crime yourself, and that's a really hard thing, because when you go down to saying, well, we have to share the pie, it's real easy to say till your slice of the pie has to be cut. Then it's like it becomes real to you, and that's what's going on in America today.
Malika said the islands.
What?
I love that you said the islands. I would go to the islands too. I feel like when I go somewhere near water and it's warm, I feel very relaxed, but I feel this sense of deja vu, like I've been there before.
Yeah.
It's very familiar, which I still need to get, that's my other thing, I need to get my reading from Mike about like my past life. I must have lived near some water or something, because every time I'm near it in like an island setting, I'm like, this is very familiar. Like, not only relaxing like it usually is for everybody, but it's more than that. It's just like home.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the same way you do about like an island somewhere in the Caribbean, somewhere just living it up, living off the land.
Mm-hmm. Paradise.
In general.
Paradise. You know, you don't have to have a lot to be all right there.
No.
You know? I just, yeah, I love the island. Absolutely love it. Looks like John Dizzo just joined us here.
Oh, look at this.
John Dizzo?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, better late than never.
Hey, John Dizzo.
I'm here, baby. You know, I was drinking, fell asleep, to realize, like,
oh,
I need to be on tonight, you know, really just irresponsible.
Oh,
that's all that was. I ain't got no excuse.
You know what? Right. I was about to say, I don't want to hear about you and your drinking. 7:30.
Come on, you drink.
7:30.
You drink.
I do. I drink, but I know when to be here at 7:30. I know what 7:30 means too. Love you,
man. Hey, darling,
funny.
Boo boo. Listen here.
Don't boo boo me.
You know, a lot of times I don't get any rest, boo boo. So
why not, boo?
When I
why not? What you be
because,
doing?
Who me?
Yeah.
I be drinking, trying to. I cry a lot. I just cry a lot, and then I drink to ease the crying, but then the drinking promotes the crying even more, and then I just cry myself to sleep. I set the alarm, but I never hear it.
Wow.
It's hard in these streets.
It's
hard gang banging. Yeah, hold me, goddammit. Shit, I need to be here.
Yeah, but John Grizzle, you know, he brings up another very, very interesting point. Because a lot of people medicate themselves like that. This system almost in a way creates a system that doesn't allow people to be themselves. And, you know, from marijuana to liquor to prescription drugs all over the country, people are medicating themselves. And we have to really take a look at a system that kills people's insides at that level where you almost have to step away from it. That's pretty powerful.
Well, dig this here. If I got to wake up every morning, rush to work, damn near kill myself trying to speed past a speeding locomotive so I don't get demoted or fired from my job, and then I only got about 5 hours to really have with the family, with the babies, because I got to do it all over again in the morning, well, then shit, I think with my 5 hours, a productive way to deal with a system in which makes me put my life on the line and rush to work is to drink. Shit.
Okay.
I'm not gonna argue with that point in any way.
Hey, John.
People
are, since
like
you're
I ain't
here.
Gonna argue with that. I'm not arguing.
Yeah, but
you're
talking about.
I ain't gonna
Britney.
Argue with that. Hey, John Dizzo.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes,
for
baby.
You
yes, baby. Ask me that.
What?
I'm getting really jealous with you calling Britney baby, so I just want to know that. I want you to know.
Why are you jealous, Ronnie? Why are you jealous? Because
Mike told me you and you are destined for life together, so it bothers me.
Ronnie, you can call me baby too, huh?
Okay, baby. hey, John, did you hear me drop that octave? Did you hear that octave drop?
I heard it drop one.
Okay.
Lonnie, you got very white on me with that octave on baby. Okay.
I'm listening.
Tell me one of your favorite or best experiences being intoxicated with the alcohol.
Yes, baby.
Did you have one in particular?
Yeah, it involved me. In a robe with one leg up.
Oh, my God. This story right here could get real crazy.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, you're going to ask John
what
Dizzo.
I just did.
If you're going to ask John Dizzo the questions, you got to get the
truth.
It involves me in a bathrobe.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
One leg up in the hotel overlooking downtown Chicago with her thang-thangs on the glass. I mean, it gets better than that. If you want to experience the city, you got to experience firsthand.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
So
this is good to know.
That was, you know, it's nothing like liquor, loud music, and cuss words. It's the best thing ever.
Best thing ever. Right.
Liquor,
right.
Loud music, and cuss words.
Cuss words, right. Right.
Oh, yeah, I get out.
Right,
I get out, baby.
Right. Right.
Y'all gonna censor me tonight. Y'all gonna censor John Dizzo tonight.
You couldn't be censored if they tried. Censoring
you
is
trying to censor
you.
Hey, baby,
I'm
trying to censor you.
Okay, you know, because I'm saying one leg up, shut up. You're gonna enjoy this.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. Y'all got me on one
make
tonight. Okay, I'm on that.
Make somebody like it. You make somebody like it.
I know that's
it.
Right. Girl, you sound like
oh
you like
God.
It. I ain't even done nothing to you yet. You sound
oh,
like you like it. I ain't even touched
oh
you
oh, my
yet.
God.
Put on light skin.
Oh,
talk
oh
to
Lord.
Me.
Girl, who begins
oh,
tonight's X-rated show? Lonnie, do we need to hang up? But look at it, act like they don't want us there. Have you noticed we're like the third date? Right.
These are questions everyone's welcome to answer.
Oh, I understand. Well, I would say to you that, first of all, I'm going to be really honest with you because I'm a little different than John Dizzle. That's my brother, and I respect all he does. But I believe that there's never been a time in my entire life where I've been away from myself under any drug or alcohol that has been a good thing. I actually think that I've been a lot better when I'm absolutely like God made me. I spent a lot of time addicted in my life, and I don't see it as a positive. I see it as a negative because it takes you away from the truer self. So if I had to answer that question, no, I've never had a good time on liquor. And then also I had alcoholism in my parents. My mother was an alcoholic, so it always bothered me, alcohol in any way. It's probably why I ended up smoking crack, because I hated the feeling and the look of alcoholism. And since I'm a 50s, 60s kid, when I grow up, my mother and the whole crew of African-American people at that time are drinking. The liquor store is about a block away from the house in Evanston, they all drink. They drink and get loud, and it just always bothered me. So, no alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol was none of that. So I ended up going all the other way direction and started using really hard substances. And
Did it make you? Can I ask you this one? Did it make you feel any different, or was it a tool to escape something?
I actually believe that all drugs are escapism. I believe that what people are trying to do is find a way. If you look at even the natural people who got high, like the natives of this country, who use peyote and things and sweat lodges to change their perspective of life. Drugs have been used throughout history as a way for people to escape to another area inside themselves.
So what did it do for you?
I was running. When I was addicted, I was running. I was running from my own anger as a black man in a system of oppression. I figured if I stayed messed up enough, I wouldn't notice it. What's really interesting is I began my activism, and then my activism led me to understanding that the system was so large and so dirty that I may not ever be able to change it, and I began to get high to try to run away from that. So,
Is you going to ask me the same question? I'm telling you, I got an answer for it.
I know you
do.
I know you do.
John, go ahead.
Answer.
Tell me.
Listen, it made me feel horny. It made me embrace my inner sexuality. It made me say, hey, girl, bold enough to look at the prettiest one in the place to be and say, hey, you know I'm sexy. Come over here and let me buy you a drink and talk to you about all the little things that I would want to do to you. And so being on the drink.
It sounds like a really, really bad Barry White song.
It does. I mean, like, did you sing that song? Did you sing it?
Hold on, but if I threw the beat behind it, it'd be a banging Barry White song. I'm just doing it a cappella right now. Baby. So, dig, of course, all drugs is an escapism tool. They say all isms is bad, but I'm going to be real with you. If you're able to function in your regular life, work, I don't care if you smoke crack, meth, I don't care if you snort pills, I don't care what the hell you do. If you're able to function and handle your business on a daily level, then goddamn it, in this hard-ass system of control and oppression, I say get high, get drunk, and have a good time doing it while you make sure you handle your responsibilities. Because guess what? Can't nobody judge you for what you do when the system puts it there for you to do it and then penalizes you for doing what they say you can't do.
There's a variable you're not putting in there. God made us perfect. So the idea that a system puts so much stress on you that you do have to escape I say that we change the system and don't deal with the changing ourselves.
Yeah, listen, you're absolutely right. God did make us perfect. Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect system, which has corrupted many of our people. So I say until us as a people is ready to unite, start trusting in each other, loving each other again, and doing for each other, I say, listen, get it how you want it, baby. Do what you need to do to get by in life, because you know what? Can't nobody get by for you. Period, point blank.
I got no problem with that, Sass, none.
People say I ain't giving to that homeless person. They going you. I ain't gonna give him no money. He gonna use it to buy drugs. Well, guess what? He might. Drugs isn't the cause of poverty. Drugs isn't the cause of homelessness. These are symptoms that arise out of a socially engineered condition.
They're responses to it.
Mm-hmm. The number one cause of homelessness in America is job loss, not drug abuse. Drug abuse may arise out of job loss, but job loss is the cause. So why are we pointing our fingers at people that abuse drugs? Oh, he's a drug abuser.
Can you pause this right? What about you lost your job because you was doing drugs? What about them?
Well, think about the system we live under. We live under a very stressful, a very trying, a very oppressive system. Think about this. Every day you trying to figure out how to get your kids to school and yourself to work. I mean, our people are reduced to making decisions such as, do I save this $5 so I can get on the bus or the train to get to work? But my kids is hungry, so maybe I should go get a couple of cheeseburgers off the dollar menu at McDonald's. I mean, you know how depressive and oppressive that is? So, if I got five, these are the decisions our people are making. Just because you may be in a position where you work, just because you're able to maintain on your own, this is not black people as a whole. As a whole, we are oppressed beyond measure. We are at the lowest of the low. I mean, life is low.
I'd like to stick my two cents in for a minute. First of all, job loss due to drug use is actually minuscule compared to job loss because of non-inclusion. And where I agree with John Drizzle on a serious note is that what we've done is we've created a system that people almost have to beg to be able to, you know, support themselves. And that in itself is unfair.
Not we.
Right.
Not we.
Right, right. Well, I know we didn't create it, but we've allowed the creation of. You know, I understand that. But, you know, it's people are under a lot of stress, and I understand what he's saying about escapism, but here's my real issue with this whole election, the standards which are trying to be pulled out of like, you know, this whole, even the Let's Make America Great BS. America was never great. America has been a thief and a scoundrel and a low-life place to live from the beginning, and because Trump has allowed America to see itself in the mirror, and all these people, and really black people aren't surprised. The only people that are surprised at Trump and the issues of Trump are white people, because they were under some kind of belief that this country was some kind of really nice, rosy place. They fell for the story, and it's never been that. So, you know, it's really sad that, you know, white people are being dragged into reality, you know, the way that they have to be. And I'm, you know, I even explained on my internet post, I said, I'm more prepared for Trump than 90% of white people. I know how to make ramen noodles and corn chips for dinner. So he can take everything. I know what it feels like to be faked by the police. I know what it means not to have enough money every month. I've been black all my life. So Trump's, whatever moves he does, I will adapt to, because I've been adapting and I come from a system of adapters, and it won't change anything. So the only people that are going to go into shock over Trump are white people who have never had anything but abundance. So now Trump is going to take your abundance, and you're going to have to learn to live like black people lived. But we've always lived like that. I know what a big pot of beans means and some rice. When they put the one dip of rice and the beans on top of what that means is everybody got to eat. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no room for no mess ups. Everybody's eating. So white people will have to learn that.
I mean, I would go deeper, but I know we don't have a lot of time left. You know,
go deep if you want to, John. Go deep.
I didn't want to go deeper because I know the show about to end, and I know Brittany wants to ask me some more questions.
Oh,
no,
Brittany. Hey, Malika, I think we do need to leave. There are some romantic interlude stuff tonight.
You know,
I don't know why. Why did we even
no
come
shit.
On the show tonight? It should have been John Drizzle Malika tonight, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, me and Malika were here at 7:30.
Yes, true,
but,
true, very
you know.
True. I was late.
So
I was late.
I just wanted to say something really quick, and then we could get back to it. Unfortunately, this past week, I lost my my stepfather's his brother, my uncle. I call him my uncle.
Wow,
we
I condolences. I didn't know that.
Thank you. To cancer, and by the time he died, it had moved all over his body. And I just want to say to our listeners, go to the doctor, get the test. Whatever the blood test, the whatever test, because even if you don't agree, I told my doctor no about a million things. No, I'm not taking that. No, I'm not doing that. But you need to be informed. And so whatever test, and you men, whatever, however you feel about these unmanly things and you don't want this doctor to do to you, it's called early detection. And I want whatever you feel about it. If you you go watch that episode of Black-ish where he gets his first prostate exam, it's hilarious. He's huddled up in the corner like in the fetal position for like days afterwards. But go get tested and live. Okay, I just want everybody to know that. Go get something doesn't feel right. Get the blood test. Get the blood work done. So you can be informed, and
right,
so you can live. Because I don't, you can be embarrassed. You can feel any way about it. You can feel emasculated, but you can feel something alive. Just go get it done. And so that's just my public service announcement today. If you feel off,
that was
go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to live. If you don't feel right, go get the test, and then make the determination about what you will and won't do. I'm not the biggest fan of Western medicine, but I know what's wrong with me, and I can figure out other
Brittany,
ways
you always
to...
Brittany, you keep opening doors, so I'm going to close this door because I have to say, when you say Western medicine solves symptoms. Like you have a cold. Western medicine stops your nose from running. It stops you from sneezing, but does not stop the cold. This is actually the way that Western life is set up. So, Western medicine won't always save you. What they really don't tell you is that it's a machine, and what you eat and what you put into it. But here's what this is how they get you. At the same time they tell you to eat healthy, if you go to Fresh Foods and see the price, you'll know why people run the McDonald's dollar menu. And then here's the crazy part. Is the same people who are producing the food are also producing the medicine. So, in essence, they make you sick, and then they get paid to watch your ass wither away in the end of your life. So this is what Western, and in the end, Western medicine is based on the same thing that Western education is set up on and all of Western life is set up, and that's profit. And until they get the whole profit margin out of all this, because, I hate to say this, but Caucasians have this addiction to things. They believe that things will get you something, your car, your house, your jewelry, so and no matter what they have to do.
But the things won't save your life.
You know what I'm saying? The thing is not what God sent us here for either. And that's why Western culture is totally against God. It's about greed, and and it won't work. It's a flawed system all the way around.
I agree.
It's medicine is flawed. It's business is flawed. It's education is flawed. It's just flawed. I'm not anti-West, am I?
I'm just saying in as far as information is concerned.
Yes.
I can use myself as an example. I thought I was going crazy, I thought I was sick, but a blood test revealed that I was anemic and I had low B vitamins and things like that. Which you can fix holistically. Blackstrap molasses has zinc, has iron in it and stuff like that. But I still needed to know what was wrong. I didn't ignore it. And that's just my point of what I'm saying. That you don't, you can use the good parts of Western medicine and get the help you need. You need information.
I want to interject one more time, Britt. I need to interject one more time. I had a stroke about 2.5 weeks ago, and it was a direct byproduct of the African-American life I was funneled into. I grew up on Hovland Court, where there's no healthy food. The majority of people in my area ate unhealthy. Not only did we eat unhealthy, the majority, when I came out of my house on Dodge, there was 32 drug dealers. There was no health store. There was no information. So in essence, my 22 years of living a black male life in America at 60 years old gave me a stroke. And I was funneled into that life by this Western system because there are food deserts, even in small, wonderful, supposedly diverse areas like Evanston. And I lived in the middle of a food desert in the Fifth Ward. So in essence, even information, and I'd have gotten that information in the early 60s or 70s, that I had to eat in a certain way, I couldn't have done it because I lived next to corner stores. You know, so we ate ramen noodles and cans of ravioli and whatever else, you know, could be. We got away from the southern way of life. It became urbanized, and it killed us. And it is killing us.
I agree. I just feel like there are some. I'm not disagreeing with you, Lonnie. I'm just saying there's some advantages to having some information and some tests and some blood tests. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You use
absolutely.
The information how you want to. I'm just saying get it. That's all.
I guess what I'm saying is there's a conspiracy to make sure that information is not as potent as it possibly could be. If you look
I completely agree with you about that.
And the way what we can afford to eat and what they can afford to eat. So with all the information you have, you knew every single ingredient and every single amount of food you put in yourself. But you couldn't afford to eat in a solid, healthy way because of money. It goes right back to the economics of it. Then you're going to, the information there will tell you.
I don't disagree. Malika, darling.
Yes, ma'am.
Malika, what you doing over there picking your feet? You over there picking your feet. That's why you so silent.
Oh my God. He didn't say Malika's picking her feet.
No, Malika don't pick her feet. Malika gets pedicures.
Oh.
Thank you.
Not pick her feet. Look, right? I got my toes done in. Day, girl. Pedicure. It's important. It is important.
You're running toes across your nose, John Dizzle.
And she ain't get her toes done today. Let me see.
Well,
I'll be the judge of that.
You know what?
Be
don't be a
judge of that.
Don't be like that,
James. Don't call. Hey, put your hands up. Put your arms up.
Lonnie,
yes, ma'am.
We're about to get out of here. Lonnie, I appreciate you. I'm so happy that you are not. That I do not hear any effects of a stroke you had like 2 weeks ago. You sound
none. I'm black,
wonderful.
I'm black genetic Evanston royalty. You have to run me over
exactly.
with a truck.
Ain't nothing gonna break your stroke.
Oh, no, it ain't. No.
I love it. John Dizzo.
Yes,
I hope you have a
Yes.
I hope you have a wonderful weekend. You take care of yourself and maybe call us at stop drinking earlier so you can call us at 7:30.
At the right time, right.
I'll think about it.
Malika, my love. As always, it's a pleasure.
Ladies. I wanted to send out my condolences to my own family. We lost my little cousin. He was 24.
Oh.
to violence, Kane and Gardner. Still a
Where
shock,
was this at, Malika?
Shock to the family. This happened in Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
Actually, Camille knows his mother, my cousin, Drika Gardner.
Wow.
And yeah, small world, isn't it?
It is a real small world.
Yeah. So that's another epidemic in our community.
I really wish you could stop saying that, but I'll shut up.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying.
It's an epidemic of this country. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know you don't like black-on-black crime. You don't like any of those terms. He was a symptom, and he had a lot of promise. And he's bottom line, he's just gone too soon. And, we love you, Kanan, and condolences to my cousin, Drika.
Right.
And to my aunt Joan, his grandmother, and it hit the family pretty hard because it was sudden. I just want everybody out there just find something, to hold on to get you focused, get you straight. And I know it's there's some of us in the community are lacking the resources, the employment, but hold on to something. Just hold on to something to get you focused
and get you
grounded. And just keep you just on the straight path, because there's so much out here that can tempt you. And even when you're on the straight path, you got people coming after you to stop you from reaching your destiny. So my prayers out to everybody, but of course, to my community, to my people, and my young black men out there. You're my heart. You are the center of my heart. And I just please be careful and take care of yourself. Yeah. Stay focused. And you know we love you and we got you.
We do.
Just stay focused.
Mm.
And
absolutely.
That's where I'm at.
Absolutely.
And like you're saying, please be extra special, diligent. It's coming up on these. As some of my people call these hella day season.
Hella days, that's a good way.
The hella days. And please be extra diligent in protecting yourself as far as being safe. Just like you're saying, be careful out here. I don't even know how to say this. Be careful. Let me just say that. Be careful.
Man, that's all you can say. Be careful.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Watch your back. All that good stuff.
Mm.
And we look forward to talking to y'all soon. We look forward to talking to everybody soon. Enjoy. I mean, I don't necessarily celebrate Thanksgiving, it's whatever, but I do celebrate family and having time with your loved ones. And anytime you get to see them and spend time with them, you should do that. Love everybody. Love your family real hard. You never know the last time you'll see them.
Mm.
For sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Make sure everybody you know knows how you feel about them, because you never, ever know the last time you'll see somebody. That's the thing. So, y'all, I love y'all.
I know you do.
I will talk to
y'all
soon.
I know you do, baby.
Oh, Lord. You know, how come everything that comes out of your mouth sounds like something else?
It sounds like it's sexy, girl.
Lord. Now he's singing, Lord.
Don't make me do it.
He's breaking out the guitar.
Yeah, you know. Oh, God. Malika, you ready to get out of here? Because I'm like, I can't.
Yes.
Oh, you can. Oh, you can. Yep. Yes, you can.
Lonnie, we'll see you. We'll talk to you soon. John, I don't even know what to say to your crazy ass. Malika. This is Brittany, and we thank you all for listening. 7:30 Monday here. It's 30 plus. What the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Get with this little witness. I'm bad to this. I fuck you. talking words, you heard, you fucking nerd. You tried to bribe me, ride me, dodge me. Fucking fight, making money on my hobby. Reason to breathe, come up, got him outside of my body. Put up, wanna fight, bitch, put him up. How that sun, don't get knocked down. Solo, I know, bitch, you won't last around. I bet, let's see what she can fuck with next. Step that ass in the ring. And I'm a jabby the jet, cause I'm the hell mad black prince of the town. And you run up, don't get knocked.